It's always amazing to see how quickly your child grows, and I'm not just talking about their height. From those early babbles to full-on storytelling, getting to watch how their ideas, creativity, and confidence develop over the years is honestly pretty incredible. Sometimes they surprise you with what they come up with, and Lego Bricks can be right there with them through all of those stages. It's not just a toy, it's a full creative building journey that keeps evolving as they do. Lego Sets Play starts as early as 1.5, with Lego Duplo, the bigger bricks designed for little hands that are just starting to explore and build. Then around age 4, kids transition to the smaller Lego bricks, and suddenly, you're watching real structures take shape, real ideas form, and their imagination really take off. They begin with simple stacking, but over time they grow into full-on creators, building worlds, stories, and things you never would have expected. That's the kind of magic of Lego Bricks. You're not buying a phase, you're starting a journey. Learn more and start building today with Lego Bricks.
It's Charles Barkley here with Wayfair. And let me tell you, game day is serious business at my house. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grill accessories, Wayfair's got it all, and it shows up fast. I'm talking fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game, and head to Wayfair.com to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
You know that thing where you get an amazing pair of shoes at a really great price and want to tell everyone about it? Yeah, so do we. Here at Designer Shoe Warehouse, we'll give you something to brag about. Like the latest styles from brands you love, or the trends everyone's obsessing over, or shoes that make you feel like, well, you. So go ahead, show off a little. Find shoes that get you at prices that get your budget. Head to your DSW store or DSW.com today. DSW, let us surprise you.
And he joins us for the next couple of segments. And, Stephen, why did you ask for all this cold weather?
You know what? This is horrible. It's too abrupt.
It's bad.
As I say, when it's this cold.
And it's going to be warm this weekend.
I don't mind winter, but there is no joy in negative degree weather. There's just no joy.
And what I want to tell you is, please, man, wear a hat, man. You got to wear a hat. It's too cold to not have a hat on.
It's early December. I'm not ready yet.
You're asking for pneumonia, man.
I know. And I've been sick, so it's not good.
Yeah.
It's not good. But I want to kind of clear something up right now.
Okay.
That you can never listen to too much Tupac.
Did I say you?
You said the guy from Wisconsin was listening to too much Tupac.
Oh, I got you.
You can never listen to too much Tupac.
What's your favorite Tupac?
Point Silton.
What's your favorite Tupac album?
All Eyes on Me. Okay. My favorite rap album of all times.
Really?
Oh, my God. It's such a tragedy. Thinking of how he would have evolved, right? He could have been
He was 25 when he died.
He could have been the Lin-Manuel Miranda of like, he could have written musicals. He could have written, I mean, what a talented guy.
Think of all the music that he wrote in just this short lifespan.
It's incredible. I mean, they were releasing stuff forever, right?
That's crazy, man.
And, it was taken way, 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 way too soon. When you see some of these other, like, Snoop Dogg, like, his evolving into this mainstream type entertainment icon. And, you know, and he had just a fraction of the talent, right? I mean, the most talented rapper ever and died way too soon. And All Eyes on Me, I listened to probably for sure more than any other rap album ever.
Got you. All right, before we get to sports and entertainment stuff, let's start with the political, a big political news earlier today. Minneapolis Mayor Jacob Frey, it's believed to be the first time in Minneapolis he vetoed the city council's budget. Then the council made history by overriding his veto. All right, so Jacob Frey vetoed the $1.9 billion budget passed by the city council late on Tuesday night, although he signed off on the property tax levy set by the council, which is 6.8% higher than the 2024 levy, that according to the Star Tribune. The council voted 9-4 to override the veto. 9 votes were needed for the override to succeed. Jacobs called the council budget, quote, reckless and irresponsible because it adds $6.53 million in new spending, much of it taken from cash reserves and transfers from the Downtown Assets Fund. Your thoughts?
Yeah. I mean, who are the four that voted not to override? Do you have that? I'm curious.
Yes, I do. The four that voted to not override, here, let me pull it up. Those that sustained were
Rainville,
Michael Rainville, Vitao, Andrea Jenkins, and Paul Simano.
Okay. Linda Palmisano. Yeah. Those are the four reasonable council members. And, of course, you know, some of the ones that ran as reasonable, including now mayoral candidate Emily Kosky, voted to override it.
Merely
for political reasons. Cynical political reasons. Wansley,
Ellison, Osman, Cashman, Chavez, Kosky, and I don't know.
Cashman.
Yeah, Cashman. I mentioned that one. But the other one is Chowdhury?
Yeah, Chowdhury. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, listen, they had an agreement, essentially, in principle on a budget. And then, essentially, what they did is they gutted all of the funding related to clearing up these homeless encampments, which are a tragedy not only for the general public who's made unsafe by these encampments, but by, frankly, be the homeless people in these encampments. Most of them have serious mental illness. This isn't about people who can't get housing. And the drug problems, the fentanyl issues within these encampments is at epidemic proportions. And the mayor was committed in his last election to clean up those encampments, put sufficient funding, including social services, to deal with those encampments. And the city council merely virtue signaling this is bad policy and politics from bizarre ideology gutted those specific sections out of the budget. And the mayor said, no, I'm not going to do that. And he vetoed the entire budget. You're right. It's never happened. Hoping that at least one or two of the middle there would come to their senses. And frankly, they overrode his veto for no other reason than, this kind of bizarre ideology.
What's Jacob going to do next?
What to? I'm sorry.
What is Jacob going to do next?
Well, I mean, he is committed to solving the problems that face Minneapolis. And frankly, you know, there is a renaissance going on. And it relates to a lot of the work that the mayor's office doing. It also relates to the fact that the Vikings are winning. The Wolves are good, right? There's great restaurants coming to town, all kinds of exciting things. I mean, you know, Jacob's going to continue to fight. I mean, he is a committed, lifelong Democrat. He is a progressive Democrat.
But this is his second term, right?
And he's going to run for a third.
You're certain of that?
100%.
Okay.
Right. I mean, listen, right now there isn't an option out there, right, that continues this city on the direction it needs to do in light of this renaissance. And you know, he feels he has unfinished business. And
this is the problem, though. He and the council they're not on the same page at all. And I'm not blaming him. I'm not blaming him. What I'm saying is that it's not functional. Like it's as a Minneapolis resident, it frustrates me that we got people on the council that I vehemently disagree with on things, and they're like in direct – they should be working together, and they just can't work together.
100%. And what really frustrates me more than anything is that most of them are not from the community. Katie Cashman is not from here. Chowdhury was from Woodbury before she moved in. I mean, these aren't people who are from him. Letitia Vitao has lived her entire life in Minneapolis, is fully committed to the city and all the things that we need to do, all of the problems that we've had in the past, all of the great things that we have in the past. And she is essentially ostracized by these carpetbaggers, really, which is, you know, and again, I mean, you know me, I'm a lifelong Democrat.
Hey,
right?
you're coming with it tonight. Yeah, you got some strong opinions about this.
No, listen, this is my city. Like, I've worked downtown for 31 years. I've lived here longer than any other place. Minneapolis downtown is a very special place. And listen, with all of the struggles that we've had, I think we can come back better. I think we can fix the mistakes and the serious issues that we all now recognize that frankly, I think so many people were not as cognizant of. And we can go to a more inclusive, more vibrant downtown than we've ever had. And when you've got, you know, the Katie Cashmans, the Emily Kosky, you know, running as this moderate and then, you know, siding with the DSA whenever it's politically expedient is just frankly disgusting. And, you know, you've got some committed people. You know, Michael Rainville is another one. Great, great, great. Lived his entire life in Northeast Minneapolis. I mean, this guy is, you know, a part of that fabric of that community. And, you know, it's just it's I'm sorry. It's
no,
a little
don't
it's
be
personal
sorry.
Here,
this
Henry.
Is good stuff. This, but let me ask you this other question. Why do you think that the council looks at Jacob in the way that they do and feel like they can bully him?
Well, Jacob won't be bullied. Jacob's
no, I'm
tougher.
No, I'm not saying they are. I'm saying having the feeling like, yeah, we're not going to listen.
This bizarre feeling of superiority, right? This is which frankly fuels the woke type of ideology. And I hate using that word because the genesis of wokeness is a beautiful thing, right? And I hate that it's been co-opted. That they believe that they know better than everybody, including the people who have lived these problems for their entire lives, right? And it frustrates me. Listen, Jacob's a sophisticated, he's a big boy, right? Mm-hmm. What bothers me is their ability to think they can bully Letitia Vito, right? Like, you know, and they have tried and she can't be bullied either. She is a formidable, councilwoman.
Yeah, I hear you. So let's take our first break. Come back. Let's talk some sports. If anybody wants to weigh in on the text line, you can. 651-461-9226. That's the StylesFinancial.com talking text line. But very spirited conversation with Stephen Silton joining us here on The Lake Show.
It's always amazing to see how quickly your child grows. And I'm not just talking about their height. From those early babbles to full-on storytelling, getting to watch how their ideas, creativity, and confidence develop over the years is honestly pretty incredible. Sometimes they surprise you with what they come up with. And Lego Bricks can be right there with them through all of those stages. It's not just a toy. It's a full creative building journey that keeps evolving as they do. Lego Sets Play starts as early as 1.5 with Lego Duplo, the bigger bricks designed for little hands that are just starting to explore and build. Then around age 4, kids transition to the smaller Lego bricks, and suddenly you're watching real structures take shape, real ideas form, and their imagination really take off. They begin with simple stacking, but over time they grow into full-on creators, building worlds, stories, and things you never would have expected. That's the kind of magic of Lego Bricks. You're not buying a phase, you're starting a journey. Learn more and start building today with Lego Bricks.
Game day at my place is kind of a big deal. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor patio setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grilling accessories, Wayfair's got it all, and it shows up fast. I'm talking championship level fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game and head to Wayfair.com now to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
You know that thing where you get an amazing pair of shoes at a really great price and want to tell everyone about it? Yeah, so do we. Here at Designer Shoe Warehouse, we'll give you something to brag about, like the latest styles from brands you love, or the trends everyone's obsessing over, or shoes that make you feel like, well, you. So go ahead, show off a little. Find shoes that get you at prices that get your budget. Head to your DSW store or DSW.com today. DSW, let us surprise you.
Finding the right furniture for my home can be hard, especially when I'm looking for trendy, high-quality pieces that won't break the bank. Luckily, at Bob's Discount Furniture, I can shop the latest styles and customer favorites with tons of 5-star reviews, like Bob's Real Marble Elm Dining Set, which has over 600 5-star reviews, the Copper Radiance Mattress, which over 400 Bob's customers say will give you 5-star sleep, the Ultra Comfy Phantom Reclining Sofa, which boasts over 1,000 5-star reviews, and the customizable modular Bob's Sectional, which not only costs just $250 per piece, but has over 1,700 5-star reviews. So when you're ready to score 5-star style for every room in your home at everyday low prices, listen to the smartest shoppers around and stop in or shop online at Bob's Discount Furniture, where America shops for furniture.
The college football playoff. Alabama's out, SMU in. We've kind of talked about this whole thing the entire year. What do you make of how this first year has kind of played out? I know that we haven't started the actual games of the college football playoff yet, but in terms of like the seeding and all this stuff, whatever, like, what did you think of it?
Listen, the rubber is meeting the road here coming up, you know, in a week, right? On the 20th is the first games, I think, right? So it's we're going to see how exciting these early games are, right? And are we going to have kind of the March Madness type of momentum from one of these teams that kind of takes fire, like a Boise State, right? Is Boise State, you know, one of these lower-seeded teams going to start going on a run? I mean, listen, I mean, I thought a lot about the point you made a couple months ago when you talked about how the current playoff structure has taken away the importance of individual games.
It has.
And the interesting thing is, you know, the importance of individual games doesn't really matter in any American – regular season games don't – what – regular season sport, do individual games matter on? In America?
College football, it used to.
Used to. So it was the one sport. Now, European sports, regular season games like, you know, the EPL, every regular season game matters, right? Because if you wind up in the bottom three, you get relegated. You essentially get kicked out of your
league.
But
that was the beauty of college football.
Right. So you had the one sport. It's not an American tradition. We don't get that excited about one regular season game. We're all about the playoffs. But
that's harmed the game.
Well, let's see. We won't know until we see what the playoffs were. People used to say that when college
it's
basketball.
It's already harmed it. I'm going to tell you why it's already harmed it.
Okay. Ooh, I see. I see you.
When in life did we have Alabama bitching when they lose a bunch of games? Think about this. Alabama lost three games this year, and they're bitching about not being in the playoffs. Like, if we didn't have all of this, nobody would be complaining. They would just say, you know what, it wasn't Alabama's year. But because of this, now all of a sudden everybody's complaining. I'm dead serious.
Yeah, but listen, Alabama would complain if they had six losses and there was only one national championship.
You can't
game.
Complain when you lost and you got bad losses.
Nick Saban ever not complained? Ever? Listen, you and I go back. I'm a Nick Saban hater, and I didn't like the way he drove his players. Nothing to do with his complaining. But this is the same complaint that was made. The NCAA March Madness was 16 teams for a long time, right? I mean, and 16 teams was considered the number, right? When it went to 64, the same argument was made, right? That this was going to be a watered down, you know, playoffs, that the regular season didn't matter anymore. And look at, I mean, what's the more exciting college sports playoffs? We got to give it 2 years. I mean, you could be right. I mean, your point is valid, right? The question is overall, will it negatively impact the overall product? That, to me, is still to be seen.
It's all going to come out in the wash, but I just think that it's. Let's put it like this. We are now days removed from Alabama fans complaining about not being in the college football playoff when last year a team like Florida State was – I mean, think about that. It's embarrassing. That's all I'm saying is that I think we have totally shifted to regular season and everything to now it's just like, okay, yeah, if you got three losses, you can still get it.
Yeah, but if Boise State – but here's the deal. The mid-major teams, right, the lower-level teams really had no chance. Any used to have no chance at all. Now they have a chance. What if Boise State goes on a two or three – you know, what is it? It's going to be – is it going to be a four-game – goes from 16 to 8.
So they got a bye.
They have a bye for to win the national championship. Georgia, Oregon, Boise State, and Arizona State would have to win three games. Everyone else in the playoff would have to win four.
Yeah.
So if one of those teams, so Boise State got a bye. If one of those teams wins four games, one of the lower seeded teams, right? And all of a sudden the fans start coming around, and I'll tell you what I like about it. With the age of NIL and with the age of the transfer portal, it's hard to stay on top of all the players. We're going to get to know these players over this three or four game series, right? And one or a handful of these players is going to come to the limelight, right? I remember even going back when Carmelo Anthony was Syracuse, right? Nobody knew. He was a freshman and kind of a skinny kid, and all of a sudden Syracuse goes in that run, and you got to see Carmelo Anthony play these clutch games, you know, and it was spectacular. Don't you see something like that happening? And if it did, wouldn't you all of a sudden, you know, have to change your opinion?
This is the thing. I don't like that we have automatic bids with this. If everything's going to be so subjective, don't have any automatic bids. Let it all be subjective in terms of who's going to get in, as opposed to just having the automatic ones go to. How many automatics are there? Five?
Five automatic bids.
Don't do any five.
So you're okay with them getting rid of automatic bids for the NCAA basketball tournaments?
No, it's different. It's different.
Why?
What tournament are we playing? What tournament are we playing? We didn't play a tournament. Football. You play a conference tournament. That's totally different. At the end. Now in terms of the conference championship at the end, you don't think there's a difference with that?
You're saying with the conference tournaments, right?
Yes.
Well, obviously,
because you have opportunities there. To me, it's different when you give somebody an opportunity. When I say give somebody, you're giving everybody an opportunity to get in. I don't have a problem with that in terms of an automatic bid.
Well, I think that's kind of fun with regard to the Big Ten tournaments and those automatic bids.
And you can't do that in football because there's so many games.
Yeah, you can't do that. So who are the five automatic bids?
So it's the five top conference champions in the rankings. So basically what happened is Oregon's number one. They went undefeated. Only FBS team undefeated, so they're number one. Georgia was ranked number two in the final ranking. They won the SEC championship. Whoever the SEC champion was going to be, unless Oregon lost, they were going to be the second-ranked team in the poll, in the last poll from the committee. The third-ranked team, the third-highest conference champion, is Boise State. They were ranked, I believe, 10th in the final ranking, but because they're a conference champion, they leapfrog over teams like Tennessee and Ohio State and Notre Dame.
Get elevated into that bye.
And they get elevated into the bye. And Arizona State finished 12th in the final ranking. They went into the Big 12 championship ranked 15th, but because they're a conference champion, they go in above, again, those other teams. Clemson is the lowest ranked team in the field, according to the committee's rankings, but they're a conference champion, so they get the fifth automatic bid into the tournament, and they're the 12 seed because once you get out of those four auto bids, the rest of the rankings just go down in order.
You just go in order.
So if Clemson, let's say, finished, let's say Boise State finished 10th, Clemson finished 12th, and Arizona State finished 13th. I'm sorry. Let me say that again. Let's say Boise State finished 7th in the final ranking. Clemson finished 9th, and Arizona State finished 10th. So there were teams below them that are ranked below them that are ranked in the tournament. Arizona State, I believe, would be the 10 seed instead of the 12 seed.
So they're all automatic bids is what you're saying,
No, five automatic and seven at-large.
Well, the at-large bids are formulaic, though, is what you're saying. They're in the...
Yes, but it's based on whatever ranking the committee sets up. So... If the committee sets up. Yeah, the committee ranks the teams. And then once they rank the teams, then they seed them.
Got it.
And that's the issue that people are having with this is the auto bids for the lower seeds. Like I said, Boise's 10th and Arizona State is 12 and Clemson is below that rank. I think they're 15th. And just elevating those up to higher positions.
Yeah, I don't like Boise State getting a bye.
I think that's something that's going to be tweaked over the next year or two. I think that will be tweaked.
So who are you on, Team Lake or Team Silton when it comes to the college?
He's on Team Silton.
See, this is what you don't understand, Mr. Silton. Lake and I had this discussion about 3 weeks ago, and I was so ready to crack open a mic right now because you are saying almost per word what I was saying.
You're both wrong.
Per word.
When have I ever been wrong?
All the time. Every segment you're in here. I'm joking. Man, all right. So let me get a couple things out before you got to get out of here. What was I going to mention to you? Because we'll have to revisit this when as we go throughout the
This is going to be a constant discussion.
You're going to the game tomorrow night, right?
I am.
The Lakers.
Yes.
No LeBron James. Do you think that we're at the end for LeBron?
You know, you and I have disagreed on LeBron, too, because I don't like the, you know, LeBron GOAT argument. I think it's a ridiculous argument.
Well, no, I mean, we don't argue about that Michael Jordan's a GOAT.
Yeah, but LeBron says that. To me, that diminishes his legacy and the Bronny thing.
No, everybody says it about LeBron.
I mean, my
No, but I'm saying, do you think that this is the end?
I would say this. The most impressive part of LeBron James is his longevity. And his ability to keep himself in shape is superhuman. So it looks like he can still play, right? I mean, it really does. And with all this load management and that, I think
we're at the end. I'm not saying that this is his last year. But if this is not his last year, next year is absolutely his final year. So You may think this is a hot take. I think that LeBron has kind of checked out. And I say that I think that he's checked out because with Bronny being in the league now and Bronny being on the Lakers, I don't think that the interest is the same. I don't. I'm sorry. I'll take all the criticism from the LeBron James fans, and I'm a LeBron James fan. I'm not a hater.
I know you are. I'm not a hater.
But it ain't the same, man. I think he's less interested in the game right now.
But he never had the unquenchable insecurity of a Michael Jordan or a Kobe, even a Kobe Bryant, where they went out there every day, you know, battling to the last minute in almost this kind of like concerned you're going to get cut, right? Like Jordan never ever checked out on a game. He never checked out on a play.
But that's not what I'm debating.
Hold on.
Him coming back from 3-1, that was remarkable. Like, come on now. Dude, that game 7 against the Warriors, that was one of the greatest performances you will ever see in sports. Ever.
Oh, come on.
Oh, my God.
When you compare him, I don't think of any particular moment. Frankly, early on in his career, the 7 years he was playing in Cleveland, frankly, I think those were some of his best years, right? Like, he had to develop his players. He had to essentially, play to the end. When he started building these super teams, right? I mean,
yeah, I didn't like that. I didn't like the super teams.
And listen, it was Dwayne Wade's team when he won in Miami, right? And, you know, the waiting for Cleveland to stockpile those draft picks.
Dude,
I mean, listen. I mean, but
2016, game 7 against the Warriors to win it all, he had 27 points, 11 assists, and 11 rebounds. The man had a triple double. Stop playing with me.
I mean,
stop playing with me. We saw the game. The man was sick. He was sick.
Listen, he is probably the most talented player ever to play in the NBA. That I will give you. He's also his longevity is remarkable. That being said, I think his legacy is tarnished.
How?
In ways, the chasing the rings with the super teams, right? The load management, the not playing defense. I mean, those are.
What do you mean, not playing defense? The man plays defense.
No,
he's the king of the chase down block.
Yeah,
what are you talking about?
If he couldn't make a highlight, he didn't play defense.
Man, you slandered the man.
No, listen.
Hey. By the way, hold on. Can we do one more segment?
Oh yeah.
Okay.
You got me worked. You got me worked up tonight.
But,
you know, I'm tired. I've been at holiday parties. I giving a shout out to my partner Steve Dickinson. He received the Minnesota Icon Award by Finance and Commerce. I was at his event, and I am jazzed just to be
right
here.
By the way, I would like to mention, just for the numbers' sake, LeBron is posting his second lowest points per game of his career. Lowest points per game.
I think it's time.
Lowest points per game since his rookie season, 23 points per game. Having said that, he's averaging 23 points, 8 rebounds, and 9.1 assists per game this season.
He's remarkable, but it doesn't feel the same. It does not feel the same.
It never felt that great to me, maybe. Maybe it wasn't like I didn't feel the way watching LeBron that I felt the way watching
Jordan.
Let
me take this bottle of coconut water and throw it at you.
Listen.
Hey, let's take a break. Let's take a look at the weather with Chris Schaefer from WCCO Television. There's something totally – I'm not going to even mention to you what I'm going to ask you about.
Ooh.
Until I ask you the question in 4 minutes from now.
Ooh, I'm ready.
All right. Steve Soden, you're on The Lake Show.
It's always amazing to see how quickly your child grows. And I'm not just talking about their height. From those early babbles to full-on storytelling, getting to watch how their ideas, creativity, and confidence develop over the years is honestly pretty incredible. Sometimes they surprise you with what they come up with. And Lego Bricks can be right there with them through all of those stages. It's not just a toy. It's a full creative building journey that keeps evolving as they do. Lego Sets Play starts as early as 1.5 with Lego Duplo, the bigger bricks designed for little hands that are just starting to explore and build. Then around age 4, kids transition to the smaller Lego bricks, and suddenly you're watching real structures take shape, real ideas form, and their imagination really take off. They begin with simple stacking, but over time they grow into full-on creators, building worlds, stories, and things you never would have expected. That's the kind of magic of Lego Bricks. You're not buying a phase, you're starting a journey. Learn more and start building today with Lego Bricks.
It's Charles Barkley here with Wayfair. And let me tell you, game day is serious business at my house. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grill accessories, Wayfair's got it all. And it shows up fast. I'm talking fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game. And head to Wayfair.com to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
You know that thing where you get an amazing pair of shoes at a really great price and want to tell everyone about it? Yeah, so do we. Here at Designer Shoe Warehouse, we'll give you something to brag about. Like the latest styles from brands you love, or the trends everyone's obsessing over, or shoes that make you feel like, well, you. So go ahead, show off a little. Find shoes that get you at prices that get your budget. Head to your DSW store or DSW.com today. DSW, let us surprise you.
Finding the right furniture for my home can be hard, especially when I'm looking for trendy, high-quality pieces that won't break the bank. Luckily, at Bob's Discount Furniture, I can shop the latest styles and customer favorites with tons of five-star reviews, like Bob's Real Marble Elm Dining Set, which has over 600 five-star reviews, the Copper Radiance Mattress, which over 400 Bob's customers say will give you five-star sleep, the ultra-comfy Phantom Reclining Sofa, which boasts over 1,000 five-star reviews, and the customizable modular Bob's Sectional, which not only costs just $250 per piece, but has over 1,700 five-star reviews. So when you're ready to score five-star style for every room in your home at everyday low prices, listen to the smartest shoppers around and stop in or shop online at Bob's Discount Furniture, where America shops for furniture.
At Lowe's, we're about to kick off something epic for fans who want more messy. And trust us, you'll want to be a rewards member when it happens. Join for free and get access to messy exclusives, surprises, and more. Head to Lowe's.com/more messy. Now's the time to get in because members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
We got an extra few minutes with Stephen Silton, sports and business attorney, Colson O'Connor. So I didn't throw this at Steve in the commercial break. This is live reaction on the air because we haven't talked in a few weeks. I want your response, though. Have you seen the Drake story about him filing the lawsuit against UMG?
No, Universal? I have not. Not at all.
Oh, I'm surprised you hadn't heard about this.
No, I love Drake.
I probably...
Any rapper that had a bar mitzvah, got to be up there. Not a lot of them. Might be the only one.
You're not like us. I'm Team Kendrick over here. I'm Kendrick Lamar.
Okay, this is Kendrick versus Drake deal. This is like...
Well, this this is not necessarily. So let me lay it out for you. I just thought that you had heard about this. I should have probably asked you about this in the commercial break. All right, so just to get you caught up. Drake, in a court filing, alleges that Universal Music Group, who he's a part of them.
He's an owner.
No. Well, he signed to them.
Okay.
falsely pumped up the popularity on Spotify and streaming services of Kendrick Lamar's Not Like Us. Okay? Now, that's the big hit of 2024, where in the feud, that was the one, that was the kill shot from Kendrick Lamar, because they had the back and forth feud. They were throwing shots at each other. Kendrick Lamar comes out, smacks him with that. It's over. It's done with. Where essentially he's kind of making, I don't want to say allegations, but the way that the song plays out and what people got from it is that Drake likes younger women. And it almost makes, well, he says something about, he calls him a pedophile in the song.
Really?
Right? So he's saying that UMG propped up that song, made it a bigger song than what it actually is, a phenomenon, and he has been damaged in such a way, and it's unfair. Now,
so this has gone from diss tracks,
yes, to actual lawsuits, and everybody's crushing Drake because they're like, dude, you're suing people in a hip hop battle,
right?
Like, and so this lawsuit, that's the distributor for the record labels of Drake and Kendrick Lamar. And so UMG is like, what? So in these allegations, right, UMG calls offensive and untrue. The filing from Drake says that the record company launched a campaign to manipulate and saturate the streaming services and the airwaves with a song, Not Like Us, in order to make that song go viral, including by using bots and pay-to-play agreements, which Payola, we know that's not happened in the history of what we do. It's not okay. It's against the rules. You're not supposed to plug stuff, right?
Right.
Pay-for-play is that's a no-no.
Yeah, I mean, you should probably explain to your listeners what Payola is. That is an old-school radio term.
So basically, let's say that Stephen Silton invest in or is part owner of a new drink, and he says, "Hey, Lake, I want you to plug my drink. I'm going to slide you $5,000 under the table."
Yes.
Doesn't buy any airtime with WCC or whatever. He's giving me $5,000. I put it in my pocket, and I talk about how great Steve Silton's drink is, even though I don't say Steve Silton. You know what I'm saying? It's just, you're not supposed to do that. Like, we have this as an employee here. I sign a document every year that says I will not take money under the I will not be involved in payola.
Yep.
Everybody knows that, but we know that has been a thing, especially in the music industry. But this is the point, though. Okay, let me get to the point. So he files this lawsuit against UMG. UMG, in their statement, they say the suggestion that UMG would do anything to undermine any of its artists is offensive and untrue. Reminder here, he's under the umbrella of UMG. This is Drake going up against UMG. They say we employ the highest ethical practices in our marketing and promotional campaigns. No amount of contrived and absurd legal arguments in this pre-action submission can mask the fact that fans choose the music that they want to hear. So this is the deal. For Drake to make it seem as though Kendrick Lamar's song wasn't a smash hit on its own is absurd. Everybody loved the song. Every little kids were singing the song. Guys my age were saying, I mean, it was the biggest hit of 2020. He's got like 7 Grammy nominations. So to act as though UMG is the reason why that song went over the top, I think is absurd. But this is the thing. They put that lawsuit together. And so how do you go about it with because he didn't sue Kendrick Lamar. He sued UMG. And then there's also some, I guess it was a second follow-up lawsuit about defamation, basically.
Against
he's like,
Kendrick? Or?
Against UMG, because they put the song out there. They knew that he was saying some kind of like, you damaged my brand. How do you think this plays out in court?
Well, I think the interesting thing is that you've got these diss tracks essentially occurring on the same record label, right? That's a unique type of issue right there. And I'll have to read the next time before I go on, I'll read the complaint so we can actually talk specifically if there's any interesting allegations. I mean,
he filed a second action against UMG alleging defamation over Kendrick Lamar's song.
Yeah, I mean, that's a bad lawsuit. Those have been played out particularly on Twitter where, you know, people essentially have sued Twitter and said, listen, you're allowing this defamation to be out there. Frankly, because the people who were saying the things didn't have any money. Here, Kendrick Lamar has plenty of money. I don't know why you would bypass a deep pocket to sue essentially the person who, you know, facilitated getting his mm-hmm. words into the market. That's mm-hmm. a silly argument. I don't know why you would do that. I mean, to me, it's an interesting, you know, lawsuit that essentially you've got, you know, maybe if there's depositions, we'll get to see if these diss tracks are somewhat orchestrated, right? Like, is UMG saying to these guys, listen, the more you guys go at each other, right, the more records are sold. This is you know, paid media.
But that's
media.
Not what he's saying. He's saying that they purposely pumped up this one specific song, and it damaged his reputation, and it's all artificial. Like, he's talking about bots and all these other. I just don't think everything that I've seen, everybody's like, this is a losing lawsuit.
For sure.
He's not going
to
win this.
Yeah, he's
going to
lose the lawsuit.
Let me ask you this from a defamation standpoint. Do you think that he has anything that way, though?
I mean,
because if he says you've damaged my brand, you're calling me a pedophile. I'm not a pedophile.
That's a complicated question.
Okay.
And you know, he is a public figure. So
yep.
So the standard for defamation goes much, much higher. This isn't just a regular citizen who, you know, someone's saying is a pedophile. And you get a lot of artistic license when you're making art, right? And you know, it would have to be very specific. It probably would have to be followed up with media that reinforced that particular line in the song. In other words,
there's plenty of stuff out there about it.
Yeah, and that's probably where you would get some additional support, where Kendrick Lamar was, you know, talking on, you know.
But the reason why I asked that is so interesting to me, though. In one of the diss tracks that Drake had, he claimed that Kendrick Lamar's wife, one of the kids, is from his buddy. It's not Kendrick Lamar's son, his actual son.
Really?
Like, I don't think that if I understand Drake from the standpoint that he's like, dude, this is defamation. You've called me a pedophile. I'm not a pedophile.
Well, right now, that's a big deal, right? Like with the whole, you know, P. Diddy stuff. This is
yes.
This
yes.
is serious. People are going to go to jail in very soon here.
Absolutely.
And
Well, now they're looking at Jay-Z because somebody.
I know. He was sued.
He was sued. But this is my point. It's kind of hard to be Drake and say that you defamed me when he defamed him. He said that a kid was not by his wife. And on top of that, he said, you beat on your woman. Now, hold on. Hold on. You can't have it both ways, bro.
I agree. But listen, I like diss tracks, right? Like, so, you know, that was – I like – you know, my favorite one was when I was involved in the Prince case, Jay-Z went after Londell McMillan, who I was in a fierce legal battle with on – I forgot the song, but it was a great, 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 great song where Jay-Z said something like – and Londell McMillan says he sees purple, all he sees is green. It was a brilliant, brilliant track. And for the record, as long as we're talking about P. Diddy, I'm going to be wearing all white on Monday, but it's for the whiteout at U.S. Bank Stadium. I'm not going to want a P. Diddy freakout. So.
Have you ever been to a Diddy party?
No.
He paused.
No. No. Absolutely not. Never. Never. You know.
Well, and, what is that in your pocket, man? Put that baby all away.
Yeah. Never. Never.
I shouldn't laugh at
that. Have you?
No.
Yo,
you never.
You run in a much more, you know, celebrity crowd than I do.
Never. I actually, and I don't have time to get in because we're up against the clock.
Do we ever not run up against the clock?
Yeah, we're really up against it now. I'm intrigued by this Diddy thing because let me just put it like this. I have to tell you about this off here. I think that he 100% is involved in the killing or the death of my college classmate.
Really?
Yep. Who elevated all the way to top of Def Jam. But we'll get into that later.
Wow.
Yeah, I want to see justice for Shakir.
Let's do it.
Yep.
What can we do? How can I help?
You can't.
I can.
No, you can't.
The guy,
not in this specific situation. We're not dealing with Diddy. Come after us. Anyway, awesome stuff, dude.
Awesome. Nice Always stuff. Great to be here.
All right, the final segment of the Late Show coming up next. All right, final couple of minutes if I turn my mic on. Here on the Late Show, tomorrow night, Matthew Collar in for me, and I am in for Jason DeRusha from 3 until 6. I think that we'll probably agree on this. We got like 2 minutes left, so I'll bring this up now. The Heisman Trophy winner this weekend will be Travis Hunter. What you think?
It would be a shock if he isn't.
Okay. You don't think that the Boise State running backs got a chance?
No.
Okay.
The way everybody's been talking, the odds now, it would be a surprise if Ashton Jeanty won that award.
Jeanty is phenomenal. Jeanty likely ends up with the Dallas Cowboys. He doesn't get past the Cowboys. They need a running back.
Mm.
Oh, come on now.
Well, no.
That's the quarterback. You got CD.
I'm not saying they don't need a running back. I'm saying, man, does he really want all that? All that drama in Dallas?
Does he want it? No, it ain't about what he wants.
I know, but
he's gonna go wherever who covers him.
I'm just saying if Dallas picks him, will I feel bad for the guy? That's what I'm saying.
I won't feel bad for him for 1 second. Because he'll do like Ezekiel Elliott and be good or great for like at least 3 or 4 years. Jerry will love him. And then he'll probably go elsewhere.
I mean, I know he won't be drafted as high as the Raiders. But the Raiders need a running back. There are several teams that need a running back.
No. The Raiders are selecting a quarterback.
Yeah.
They're taking Shadur.
And that's what I'm saying. He's not, because running backs are not as coveted as they used to be. But he would be a decent fit for the Raiders, or, you know, what about the
Jeanty's going in the top 12?
Do you think the Bears get one? Even with DeAndre Swift, maybe the Bears need one.
No, that's not a need for them. I don't think.
Well, I know they need line help, but maybe get a big time running back,
offensive line help for Caleb Williams. All right, that's gonna wrap up the show. I'm in for Jason DeRusha tomorrow. Everybody out there, thanks for listening. And stay warm, because it's cold as hell. Talk to you guys tomorrow.
It's always amazing to see how quickly your child grows. And I'm not just talking about their height. From those early babbles to full-on storytelling, getting to watch how their ideas, creativity, and confidence develop over the years is honestly pretty incredible. Sometimes they surprise you with what they come up with. And Lego Bricks can be right there with them through all of those stages. It's not just a toy. It's a full creative building journey that keeps evolving as they do. Lego Sets Play starts as early as 1.5 with Lego Duplo, the bigger bricks designed for little hands that are just starting to explore and build. Then around age 4, kids transition to the smaller Lego bricks, and suddenly you're watching real structures take shape, real ideas form, and their imagination really take off. They begin with simple stacking, but over time they grow into full-on creators, building worlds, stories, and things you never would have expected. That's the kind of magic of Lego Bricks. You're not buying a phase, you're starting a journey. Learn more and start building today with Lego Bricks.
At Lowe's, we're about to kick off something epic for fans who want more messy. And trust us, you'll want to be a rewards member when it happens. Join for free and get access to messy exclusives, surprises, and more. Head to Lowe's.com/moremessy. Now's the time to get in, because members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane.
Youch. Did he have any hot sauce?
Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snap's Identity Refreshing!
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.